This is Ouch My Wallet, hosted by Robert Simmons, a production of the TF Talk Network. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ouch My Wallet, part of the TF Talk Network. It is September 13th. Woo! We are here to talk about...
Not Friday.
I don't know why I said September, because it is November 13th. That was a test.
It is not September.
That was a test, and you passed. But yeah, so we are going to talk about all our latest toy acquisitions. I know for me, it's going to be a TFCon Part 2 plus more goodies, because... didn't even get through them all. So I'm your host, Rob Simmons. With me today, we have Lucas.
Oh, hey, what's up?
We have Paul.
That's me.
And we have Peter.
Forever Destron.
Forever Destron. All right, so I'm going to kick it off tonight, Dealer's Choice, with, because I told Anna I would. And I was going to talk about them anyways, let's be honest here. But something I got in, which was some good old Rock Lords. If you don't know what Rock Lords are, they are, most people know what GoBots are. And then GoBots had a spinoff called Rock Lords. Rock Lords, the first wave had, I think, 12, 6 good, 6 evil. And I got 10 of the common ones. In a batch on eBay for $50 shipped. 8 of them are complete. I think 6 are complete, and then 2 more had broken weapons. So I'm not going to go over all of them, because, again, they're mostly the common guys, but I did want to bring out some highlights, one of which being Slimestone here with pretty decent chrome and his weapon. Slimestone is completely covered in chrome. There's another one covered in chrome called Nugget. Mine of him is complete garbage. But... Slimestone here had pretty good chrome. It's not perfect or anything, but for Rock Lord, pretty decent, especially for $5 each. That's a steal.
I love that design. Cool one.
Oh.
He's basically like the evil Nugget, right? He's like their evil Bumblebee.
Yeah. I mean,
he didn't do very much in the movie.
Yeah. I haven't watched the movie. I read the little comic that came with it. One thing I wanted to show that was fun about these is not only were, again, 6 of them complete, 2 more with broken weapons. It had all the character bios, which was
those
very
are
cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, one of the comics. What's fun to notice here, and this is getting really nerdy here, is the images on the character bios are all of the prototypes, and they're very different. So, like, Slimestone here, like, his eyes are very different, and he's painted, like, kind of a matte silver instead of this chrome that he came out to end with. And I don't know. I always find that type of stuff fun to notice. And I saw another image of, like, the Rock Lords catalog. And all of them in there are different than the ones that were released. Like, it's, you can tell which ones they are, but they're obviously not production samples. Another one that came out of this guy, he's not rare, but he is harder to find of the initial 12, which is Stoneheart. And his legs are, unfortunately, floppy crap at the hips. He will stand, but it is work. And, again... he's pretty close. His face is pretty different. The colors are pretty different.
Kind of. I always thought he was kind of like the creature from the Black Lagoon or something, right? The way he looks.
Yeah. He definitely has that. And this one guy right here, got him, and he's super common. It's surprising it took me this long to get him. But Boulder, and he's got one of the broken weapons. But, like, you can tell he's very different. Like, I probably should upgrade my webcam. It's super old, but...
it's a little blurry there, Rob.
Yeah, it's focusing on your face and not the thing in front of you.
Yeah, but his head mold's different. I mean, even from the blurry image, you can tell that the back's not hollow in there. It's all filled out, which is just, you know, I don't know if they were wooden prototypes or resin and painted. Probably resin and painted. I don't know what they did in those days. But, I don't know. I find that stuff interesting. That wasn't the
nerd.
Only... very much.
So I was gonna say, though, isn't it the best thing, though, to get one of those auctions, like, super low priced, like, auction like lot on eBay and like nobody else is bidding on it, and you somehow get it. Like I had that happen with like a bunch of my GoBots. Like I've just gotten like these like massive lots that like where they're actually in really good condition, and you know, it was like 50 for like $50 or something like that.
And you wonder why no one's bid on these things. You feel like you're doing something wrong. Like, how did I get so lucky with this lot?
No, yeah. I didn't bid on this. The guy listed it for, I remember what it was. He listed it for 50 as the opening bid, but it had a best offer and it didn't have any bids yet. And I've just been kind of, I was hoping to pick up some Rock Lords at TFCon, and I struck out. There was a broken spike stone and then the one, completely round one at Azusa's table that had a broken button, and I wasn't interested. Alan ended up buying it, a friend of ours. So I've been on that itch, so I've been looking at eBay here and there. So I just happened to cut up, but he had a best offer, so I was like, I'll offer 55. It's $5 over the opening bid. And, you know, a complete Rock Lord is usually 20 to 30 shipped, and I got 6 fully complete ones plus a couple more. I'm pretty happy with that. On top of that, after the initial 12, there was, you know, 3 of the like semi-clear ones. I don't have any of those yet. And then there were 3 of these other ones that have different action features, words. Mm-hmm. And I picked up this guy. He's
got, nice.
I've blanked on his name because, you know, I'm in the middle.
It's of like Hookstone or something.
Yeah.
It's Stonehook. Stonehook.
Yeah. So, and his action feature is that, you know, he has this and still works. Doesn't line up properly on his home, but pretty happy to get him. And so there's him, and then there's one that rolls by itself, and there's one that has a black stone in its chest that he shoots out. And,
yeah.
And, you know, hopefully I'll have those in the not-too-distant future. We'll see.
But, very cool.
But, yeah, so that was my fun Rock Lords pickup there, Anna. So I didn't drop a bunch of money on them, although this guy was a little more. I think he was, like, 35 shipped, something like that.
Oh wow, money bags over there.
I know, right? That's a 1.5 siege deluxes. So
you're making me regret selling mine as a lot on eBay many years ago. I had like a giant like plastic bag full of Rock Lords, doubles even, and I got sick of them and sold them.
Did you sell them to me?
I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, it's.
It had a lot of them. There was a lot of chromeware and stuff, but there was probably like. I mean, the whole first line was in there.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, I got.
Go ahead.
Go there ahead. You go. I was going to say, I got my initial, like, aside from the ones that I had left over as a kid, I got a bag of Rock Lords from eBay some years ago, and they were beat up. They might be yours. I don't know. But then I went ahead. I'm going to have to. I went replacing all of them, and. Rob, you got really lucky because I was replacing, you know, for better condition, all the weapons, and I wasn't always finding them together. Getting some of those weapons by themselves, especially for the Jewel Lords.
The only Jewel Lords out there right now are weaponless except the orange guy. There's an auction from France with him, with his weapon. The rest are all weaponless. And it's just kind of like, I mean, I'll wait. I'll wait for the right moment and for the budget.
They come in waves.
They do. I think my appeal on these, and I was trying to think of what it was, because we were talking about BotBots last night on Microcasters. Not that I was there, but I was in the chat, our rating in EverQuest and just, you know, throwing
talking
shade.
Talking smack.
Yeah,
I saw that.
I think my appeal of these is, you know, they just transform into rocks and squares. I think my appeal to these is the same as it is for cassettes, which just transform into rectangles. I don't know, something about transforming into those simple shapes. And then coming out allows them to be expressive and, you know, to be interesting. And the alt mode can be whatever it is. It doesn't have to conform to anything.
It's like that Beast Box line.
Yes, that is 100% correct. With which I have, you know, every mold sitting right here at my desk, and I fiddle with them quite often. There's a couple more coming out. I think I need to make some more orders on them. Big bad, as a matter of fact. But yeah, that's what I wanted to kick it off with today. So I did. So I think let's stick to the format we did last week. I thought that worked well, where each of us does, you know, either, you know, one or something, you know, grouped or whatever, and we'll go around. We'll just round robin at the end. We might do some lightning round stuff again that we just want to, like, got this, and this next. So who wants to go next, or should I pick?
You pick.
All right, go, Paul. That's what you get for speaking up.
Well, This won't interest a lot of you guys, but I was very happy to pick up the Japanese release of the Rusty Studio Series Volkswagen Bumblebee. And I knew this was coming out a long time ago because I made a deal with someone to pick some up. But then when I found out the Rusty Bumblebee was going to be in the two-pack that was at Target, Studio Series 24 and 25, I got a little cold feet and I didn't follow through with my order of these. And I just found out recently that this did come out. This was a 7-Eleven exclusive. It was some sort of exclusive. They had to get at a store. And the fact that it's in this, like, you know, monochrome blue box with a hologram on the back and a special keychain. When I finally saw this, I was like, oh my God, I missed out. Cause this is cool to me. This is a special release. It's a Studio Series -EX. So to me, I really want this for my Studio Series collection, my sealed box one.
So was that in 7-Eleven? You say that wasn't in the U.S.?
The toy was in the U.S. It was definitely available in the U.S. And when this was, yes, and when this was first announced in Japan, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be tough to get. And then when I realized it's being released in America to like almost little fanfare, if any, it was not going to be a big deal to get the toy. But it's more about this is a mint and sealed box.
So it's about piece. The packaging, you know, and the accessories that are unique.
Well, the only thing that's really unique is there's a keychain sealed in there, like a special keychain that's like one of those plastic round things.
But the box
is weird.
Yeah. It's a fun piece.
It stands out. And if you're looking at a bunch of Studio Series toys, you're like, what's the blue one?
Yeah.
And then you get more for that one. You know, that's the story.
So the regular Studio Series, like, they're the same in Japan as in the U.S. Is that right? Like,
no.
So,
I mean, yes, but the numbering is different.
Right, the numbering. I mean, the toys themselves. If you're buying them to open them, for the most part, yeah, you're not going to see any difference in the toys.
Mike asks, "How much did you drop on that ball?"
Don't ask questions like that.
That's why we're here. Wallet.
Oh, you're right. Well, it hurt.
My rifles didn't hurt.
I had to get it on eBay in the end. I think it was like with eBay bucks or something. There was some promo, and that's why I did it. It was like $70. Actually,
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, I was
a weird
pretty happy.
Store exclusive from Japan. That's not bad.
Yeah, if you can get the Bump My Chicken Bumblebee for $70, I'll
Bump My Chicken.
No one's bumping anybody's chicken.
I don't know if anyone listened to the last TF Talk Weekly, but there's the zinger at the end after the show's over, and it's outtake of me like losing my shit talking about the bump of chicken thing. Like I'm trying to stay composed, and I actually edited it because I swore, but I, you know, for the children, I decided to cut it out.
It's
hard to say.
I noticed, I think it was Diamchalk shared something on Facebook and they called it Bummo of Chicken. Not bum. And I don't know if that was a typo because O and P are next to each other or if it's yet some other translation.
Is it like the translation back or something like that, where it's going through Google Translate a couple times? Right, right.
The one who met the eyes before. Do you guys remember that? Instead of More Than Meets the Eye, when Generation 1 toys were being released in Japan in like 2003 or so, it said like the one who the eyes have met before. And it was like, and it turned out it was, translated to and then back.
Oh, that's funny. So what's up with 7-Eleven in Japan?
Well, okay, I've been to Japan for about a week. And, I mean, 7-Eleven is like, they're everywhere. And they're also like a bastion of Americana as well. If you need, for instance, if you want to pull out money, like yen from an ATM, you have to go to an international ATM and all the 7-Elevens will have that. So that was one reason why, like, I had to go there often because my dumbass went to Japan thinking, oh, they're going to take credit card for everything. That's not part of the Japanese culture. They want cash. So I didn't have any like cash prepared.
Like even at like chain stores and everything, or is there just less chain stores, or at least where you were going wasn't chain stores?
A lot of really touristy places will take it, and like train like large purchases will take it. But like going to get some snacks at the store or like just having dinner, some will take it, but you shouldn't expect it. You should bring cash.
Hmm.
This is just how they. It's just how they roll. That's just the way it is.
By cash, do you mean, like, you gotta go and get some yen?
Yeah, okay. Like dollar bills.
I'm curious if that's changed. Because I know, like, when I was down in Mexico, they would take my U.S. dollars all day long, I tell you what.
I don't think it's changed, because this was not long ago. This was, like, less than 5 years ago that I went, so.
Well, to name drop him again, we could ask Alan. I think he went to Japan just right. a year ago or something. I think Claire has been not too long ago, too, I think.
Yep, they would probably
have better. Goes every 3 weeks.
Yeah, so the last thing about this, I'm a little bummed out. I just received this today, and it's not, like, there's a big dent in the top.
Oh, man.
Set it on fire.
So maybe I'll get another one. Anyways, we can move on from that.
All right, Lucas or Peter, who wants to go?
Lucas wants to go.
All right, there you go.
I don't have a lot this week, so I'm going to run out quick. So I got a non-transforming Transformer. So I think, Paul, you may have gotten this as well.
Is that Amazing Yamaguchi?
This is the Amazing Yamaguchi. So
I forgot I bought this.
It's a little flight stand, and there's a fun box, and it comes with – here's the box. I opened my stuff up out of my box, Paul, so – but yeah, so it comes like the normal Amazing Yamaguchi, you know, line. The thing that I think is interesting about this release is that this is the first one that doesn't have any Reveltech joints.
But it's a Reveltech line. It has to have Reveltech joints.
Am I wrong? Like maybe in the ankles or something that I can't see.
Is it not actually hidden in there?
I mean, his thighs are his hip joints are Reveltech. So they're big ones, but they're there.
Oh, you're right. Okay, but nevertheless,
shoulders, elbows.
It's not the same. No, the shoulders are actually on there. It's a ball joint, but it's a very, the joints are just much different than the rest of the Amazing Yamaguchi line. So it's like the shoulders. It just feels a lot more solid. Like there's like a joint that goes up this way, and then you can get the
butterfly
or whatever. Like there's like this joint, so like it doesn't break up the sculpt for the most part, like with a lot of the movements. And so I mean it's I'm pretty impressed by the figure in general. Like it feels really solid. And more solid than, you know, because it's just not filled with a ton of Reveltech joints. So the articulation probably isn't quite there like some of those. But I think it's interesting, like in the back of the thigh, there's like, you know, parts that cover up the, you know, when you're doing stuff.
It's interesting. Like I had the original Reveltech Prime and Megatron. I actually sold them just last year, you know, which they have a bunch of ugly Reveltech joints, you know, hitting out. But, you know. They did what they were supposed to do.
And ugly Dreamwave proportions.
Yeah. Like, I wish this one didn't have the boob windows quite so much. I wish it was just kind of more the front, but it's not as bad as the old one.
I feel like the fists are really small on this guy, and his chest does feel a little strange as far as proportions.
Okay, yeah, so you got full like waist swivel and
it's a weird release. Like I have some of the Amazing Yamaguchi Marvel stuff. I have a few of those, you know, and they're all very stylized. Like they are not figures that you can just stand on a shelf. You have to pose them or else they look terrible. If you just stand them, they're made to be posed. You put them in action poses and they look great all day. And then you get this, which isn't stylized and has almost no Reveltech joints in it in the first place. Like and it's better for it, but it just seems odd that it's in the Amazing Yamaguchi line.
Can someone explain what the Amazing Yamaguchi line is? Because I hadn't known about it until this was announced. And I've followed Reveltech for a long time, but I must have missed something.
My understanding is Amazing Yamaguchi meant it was the same designer? Or maybe the same... Okay. And, I mean, he's mostly been Marvel. That's where it started out. But then they've done a Batman as well. I don't know if they've done other DC figures, and now we have this.
They did. What is it? Is it Deadlock? There is one. Deathstroke. Is it Deathstroke? I think it's Deathstroke that they did.
That's a DC villain, yeah.
So that's the other DC one. So I don't know if it's one of those things where they started off doing Marvel and they're like, oh, we should just, you know, get into other lines and kind of see what sells and what doesn't. Like, that's what I'm assuming that they're doing.
Is this the same price as the Marvel ones? They're usually like, I think, 60, 70 on Big Bad.
This like one's a little 95. More expensive. Yeah. Yeah. So I got this one from from Nippon Yusan. So I didn't pay 95. I think I paid 80 or 85, something like that. So the other thing is it's a little bit smaller than the other Amazing Yamaguchi figures. So, which is a little bit weird. Like, I was expecting it to be bigger. But I think it's a fun figure. And, I got in the Flame Toys Optimus Prime and all that, and I was like, I don't really necessarily know I want to build a kit and whatever. And so I kind of decided, I was like, by the time I deal with buying that for, 40 some bucks and get it painted and whatever, like, I'll probably spend about the same as this, and I really just want it just to have a fun little figure to mess with. So and I collect the rest of the Amazing Yamaguchi line, so yeah. So
that's cool. You wanted an action figure that you didn't have to build, so. And all the Amazing Yamaguchi lines are, I think they're great action figures. Their Wolverine was the first one I picked up. And they've also been knocked off the Kingdom Come, but you can tell when you're handling a knockoff. I know, because I tried one. I tried a couple. They are very shoddy quality, and they don't hold together well. So this will probably be knocked off, and I'd expect it to be the same, and to be of pretty shoddy quality and not hold together well.
My suggestion is, if you're buying Amazing Yamaguchi, is to either buy from like Big Bad or one of the U.S. online stores, or the Japanese stores like Amazon Japan or something like that, and to try to steer clear from eBay, unless like you're 100% sure that you're dealing with a seller that's selling a legit one, just because there's so many knockoffs. And it's like, you
if it's
can
too
get
good to be good true, then it's not true.
But the thing is like, these knockoffs, like the good ones are what, like say $60 or $70 or whatever, right? The knockoffs are like $25, $30.
Yeah,
and then
obvious.
Crap. And so, I know a lot of people that collect knockoffs for Transformers, like those MP knockoffs, like, they're legitimately good figures. Like the MP knockoffs are not bad. Like, well,
take your word
what
for
I'm
it.
Saying, Peter, what I'm saying, Peter, is the difference.
No. I wasn't making a face at you and the quality. I was making a face at Paul's butt crack when he bent over. Yeah, sorry.
I wasn't going to verbalize it. For our audio listeners,
I just made a face. You'll have Lucas picked in. Up on the face, and I
sorry.
Didn't clarify.
I thought I had that taken care of.
So, yeah. See, I was trying not to look up there. So,
sorry, no. But to your point, anyway. the Takara Masterpiece knockoffs, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, not that I'm condoning, Masterpiece knockoffs, but they're much better quality than knockoffs of other stuff.
All right, Peter.
Here's my. Well, I still have some leftovers from TFCon, but I also just got my new Big Bad box. Uh-oh. So, there we go. And it's nothing new or exciting. It's exciting to me because I'm checking off boxes, and that makes me happy. These are a couple of figures. Well, four
Should
figures.
Should I get my vomit bag ready?
No. It's not quite that bad. Okay. These are some that I've tried to get a couple times in the past and didn't quite work out for me for various reasons, but it's Kickback and Gong, or Brawn, from Legends. And they, oh, sorry. Yeah.
Cool.
You see that?
I really like that Brawn a lot more, the Takara one over the US one.
Was that before they did the brand unity?
This is correct. Okay. This was like the last line where they had the deco differences for the main line. So Brawn's in a slightly different deco. He comes a little hyper painted Repugnus Titan Master or Headmaster. And Kickback comes with Double Clouder. Or Clouder, or whatever you want to call him, the Double Dealer Scar head, for a Double Dealer. Not that we have a Headmaster Double Dealer to put it on, but yeah,
that's cool. It's
fun. Yeah,
not yet, at least.
So, not yet.
Yeah,
keep price peeled.
Maybe we'll get it and get that Megatron repaint, right? Or throwback.
I rolled my eyes so hard at that post. It was neat, but yeah.
What?
Someone came across some concept or control art of Double Dealer painted up as Megatron. And it looks neat, and you can see where there are some interesting design cues. But yeah, if that was ever intended to be Megatron, it moved away from that pretty quickly. So, yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, that's it for round one for me.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Next, I'm going to talk about one of my more interesting TFCon pickups. So, you know, Friday night was a big dealer room night, room to room trading night. And then Saturday night, a lot of us were also drinking. We're like, let's go find some toys. So we made our way to the lobby, and we're looking through the board, at which point, like, the board was tiny this year. It was this very small board.
Physically, yeah.
Yeah. But so people had, like, just laid it out on the floor, like, pages out. And we were looking through them, and most people just had, like, their cell phone number. That was it. You know, we were looking to go browse rooms. I noticed one room said Telemoka. You know, that's... If you don't know what Telemoka is, it is an anniversary Beast Wars, maybe even Beast Machines, I can't remember exactly, line they had in Japan to kind of similar to how we had Beast Wars 10th here. But they also had Telemoka and they had Beast Wars Returns, and I don't remember the exact order of which is which. But they were all, you know, more cartoon accurate releases. Anyway, so we go up there, and I spotted a Black Arachnia sitting there with her weapon for $40, and I bought it. So... it's a Tarantulas mold. You know, you can only do so much with the Tarantulas mold to make it look like Black Arachnia. But damned if this doesn't try. But, you know, it's in really good condition. You know, she's, of course, got all of her parts. She's painted to the nines, and it just kind of caught me by surprise. And I picked it up, and, of course, our friend Black Arachnia was with us, and he's like, oh, it's a good price, you're going to buy it. I'm like, dude, it could be $500. You're going to tell me it's a good price, and I should buy it. I don't trust you. You know, you changed your name. I don't trust your opinion on this, but Aaron was also with us, Lucas, and he was like, if you didn't buy it, I was going to buy it. So that made me, it was like, you know, it was one of those, spur of the moment things, but I was really happy to pick it up because I have some of the other Beast Wars 10th. I think the question is now, do I keep my other Black Arachne or not? Because the other Beast Wars 10th I got, like, I replaced, although my Dinobot has crumbled because that's what Dinobots do.
So, as a person that doesn't know much about the Beast Wars toy line, is that what Black Arachnia looked like in the United States, or was it a different mold?
It's the same mold. The colors are way different off.
Deco. Yeah. The Telemoka line was really good about trying to do the original molds in Deco that really tried to capture the TV look.
And most of the characters... The on-screen appearance wasn't, like, so far off. I feel Black Arachne was one of the more far-off ones from her toy. Just because, you know, they took Tarantulas, which is, you know, kind of stocky and sturdy or whatever, and then they made this very slim... I've lost the word.
Leith?
Huh?
Leith?
No. But anyways...
Buxom?
Buxom, that's it. You know, slim but buxom, you know, character model for her that doesn't look anything like the toy. You know, so I feel like but this paint deco does a really good job of getting as close as you can. That was a really fun pickup.
So. It's a cool find. You don't see those like just floating around, Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah, like I've been trying to get the Beast Wars or the Beast Machines Megatron head crab thing that came out in Beast Wars Returns, mm-hmm. And that thing never shows up. And when it does, it's way too much money.
It's like $400 for an open one.
It's up to that now.
Yeah. I was looking at him earlier this week.
I was balking at it when it was like 100 or 150. Yeah.
Yeah, the return stuff, Beast Wars Returns, or the Japanese version of the Beast Machines toy line, was only available at Toys R Us in Japan, and so limited numbers and incredibly hard. Well, more rare now than it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago.
And it wasn't cheap when they came out, at least.
Exactly.
Except for Silverbolt, because that toy's crap. I have that one.
Yeah. That's another case where the decos out there were much, much better than they were over here.
Yeah. At least he's in the right colors now, even if everything else about him is wrong and the toy's crap. But
yeah.
Beggars can't be choosers. All right, Paul.
Well, I think I'm going to predict one of Peter's, so I'm not going to talk about that one yet. But I got this recently. This is Singe.
From the Siege lines at Target Master?
Yeah. This is Siege Singe. He's a Battle Master. I wish I could show off Rung, but I don't have any left. So, but I didn't even... I thought this was a new character in Siege. I didn't realize he was actually supposed to go with...
Hair Splitter? Singe and Hair Splitter are a team.
Yeah, and they go with... I can't think of the guy's name right now. Spinister, which I did not... You know, I just didn't know all those guys, so... I don't know. I like the deco. I like the green blast effects. I really think the blast effects are going to be very valuable going forward. If they don't continue them, or even if they do, actually, that's going to be a big selling point for these little guys.
Mm-hmm. I think they're
and they're easy to lose too.
Yeah, so. And I hope that that's one of the play pattern things that move forward with subsequent successive lines. Yeah.
I mean, what kind of blast effect do you need for your ramp? Because that's the new small guys are the
well,
new
you
ramps.
Could, you know, have little like
only
you know,
one of the guys is a ramp.
So far,
I assume so that the rest of them would be ramps. It's all ramps. Eventually, ramps will be the main line. It'll be nothing but ramps. And then when they eventually get to where they actually the ramp parts become the legs and the arms, then I'll be interested because then it's going to be like Rock Lords. But right now, when it's just a ramp on his back, I'm going to have to pass.
But are you going to wait for the Masterpiece version, Rob?
Masterpiece
I want
ramp.
The Gen 2 version. Yeah.
We've only seen ramps. One ramp so far, so let's see what they come up with.
Well, they're starting slow and ramping up.
I just wish, like, you know, this as a gimmick didn't have to be, like, for one line, you know? It's like, you came up with a good idea. Why can't they continue to, like, compound upon this stuff? Like, you can still have combiners with the same combiner joints and the Titan Master. I mean, at least they have the Titan Masters on Ape Face. So, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and we're going to have...
that all the time? That would be
blast
great.
Blast effects right? Going into some Cyberverse pieces coming up. As I recall.
Will we?
Oh, there you go.
Yep. Take your word on it.
Sweet. Awesome. Love it.
Cool. All right. Lucas.
All right. Well, I only have one other thing. It's a little heavy.
Does that fit onto the base of your Prime that you bought?
No, it actually, the base is a little bit different. I don't know. The bases don't really go together. I mean, they kind of do. Oh,
sorry, I interrupted you with my question. What is this for our audio listeners?
So this is the Imaginarium Arts Legacy of Cybertron Jazz.
And it's so pretty.
Yes, it really, really just looks really awesome. So, but yeah, so, and I think the thing that's cool with this is that some of these characters like this, like, say if you wanted to buy the bigger statues for some unknown reason, I think this would still go well with those bigger statues, you know, if you're, like, trying to scale it. Like, I mean, this is still smaller than the Prime, but, yeah.
With the Prime?
I mean, no, but it's, I don't know. It's smaller, but it's not. Like, you know, whatever. If you took this compared to the Prime, it's not going to be MP scale or something. So
please put that down. You're making me nervous.
He's waiting for it to drop.
So one of the things that's cool, too, is so this one actually comes with a couple different things. You can take... So this hook or whatever is like... Yes, it's a magnet.
I love magnets.
And so if you want... If you'd rather have his blaster, you can put the blaster in. You can, depending on if you want the doors, you can take them off if you want. You can kind of like do what you want with it. This is a little more modular than the Prime. Like if you want to take this gun off, you can take that off. Some of those things. So. But yeah, no, this is really, really cool, and this is honestly one of the ones that I was most excited about getting from this line, just because it looks like it has a really neat action pose, and I mean, it really looks like it's like kind of come alive. And so I've actually gotten, so I got this one, I got the Starscream, and then I had the Prime. And so now I kind of have all three of them in my case. And my wife, you know, once I got the Jazz one, was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can really see where you're going with this. Like, this looks really, you know, really cool.
You know, here's the divorce papers, but these do look cool.
No, no, no. Nothing like that. She supports my habit, so.
So how deep are you going to go on statues? Are you just kind of like picking the few you like here and there, or?
Yeah. So the plan is I have four spots. So I have a Besta cabinet upstairs, and so has six spots total. The two of the spots down are for like my convention exclusives that I've picked up. So I have that filled up with that stuff, and so I have four spots, and so those four spots are going with four statues. So I still want to pick up the Megatron, but I'm waiting to either sell some stuff, or it may be a Christmas present or something like that. So that's mine. Will be my last one.
Word. Well, you'll have to have it on the show. That could be what you talk about on Microcasters, because no one else gives a crap about statues on the show. That
do it
for those who haven't followed along. 2 weeks ago, Microcasters was Calculation King, which is this weird Wei Zhang release that Anna has been like stabbing everyone in the eyeballs about to get on the show. So she had that show. Last night, Microcaster was BotBots, which is Christian's big thing. And so I was like, what's Lucas going to do that no one else cares about? And it's statues.
Yep, exactly. Well, you know, so our collecting has kind of diverged a little bit because I had been into like everything. And we try to keep Microcasters like some more mainline stuff that's cheaper that like anybody can pick up, you know, because everybody else covers like the third party and high end stuff and Masterpiece and whatever. And we've done that. But yeah, like our collecting's kind of diverging where Anna keeps picking up this knockoff trash, and you know, Christian picks up every bot imaginable, and I pick up all the Siege crap. So
I think Christian still buys all the Siege stuff too, right?
He does. He does.
I think Anna gets a lot of it, but gets rid of a lot of it. I feel maybe,
or yes.
Gets it and is like, yeah. Meh.
She does one per character, right?
One per mold.
That's the goal. That's the goal. One per mold, one per character. But she doesn't always do that. But so
she will be broken.
The problem is so like Christian and I will get something in. It will be like, oh, it's so good, it's so amazing. Can you imagine this Siege Starscream? And then she gets it and she's like, what are you guys talking about? This is crap. I mean, not that it's crap, but you know, like
she's if not you're to that level.
Yeah, if you're gonna compare that compared to, you know, the Make Toys, you know, Starscream, just whatever, it's just not the same. Meteor, yeah. So
cool. All right, Peter.
My turn, I think. Yeah. Okay. So I've got more in this big bad box, and it's more of the same type. So I'll do two at once because it's not interesting, but I did, you know, hurt my wallet with it. Yay. So I've got Legends Broadside and Legends, was this Gen 2-ish Megatron?
Yeah.
Oh, it's all Reflection.
But it's all Reflection.
Oh,
there,
it's the purple
maybe?
One. Got it.
The purple one. Yeah. So Broadside is Broadside, Gen 1, Triple Changer, boop, 1986. And the Megatron is a lot more interesting. He's based on the Purple Combat Hero, which is slightly based on the Generation 2 large green tank, but this one is the Titan's Return mold. It's a triple changer. It's a Blitzwing, basically, jet tank robot, and has the head pops off, and it comes with a little what's that dude's name from Beast Return? Beast Machines? Savage Noble. Noble Savage? The little dragon dude. Dragon turns into a werewolf dude, voiced by David Kaye. Turns out it's Megatron hiding inside of an organic body, completely organic, devoid of all of spoilers to a season 2 from a show that's 21 years old. Yeah. No. 20 years old. Anyway, but yeah. So, checking boxes. I'm just trying to clean up on Legends get that knocked out.
Black Arachne was telling me that someone is, I think maybe they were one of the club fiction writers or something, that they bridged Generation 2 is the bridge between G1 and Beast Wars. Kind of sort of like, you know, wrote some fiction for that. So that's kind of neat that that is a G2 homage, you know, that has the Savage Noble, which goes into Beast Machines. We're jumping a little ahead, but, you know, that's pretty cool. That's a cool release.
And I don't recall... I mean, I try and read on the AllSpark the translated comics that come with the Legends stuff, and I've missed certain ones. I'm pretty sure I've missed that one. So I don't know if Savage Noble plays into the comic at all. It'll be interesting to see.
Can you talk about the broadside quick?
Is that does, from the U.S. release?
Doesn't it come with a little dude, too? Because they all do.
It comes with a little Repugnus. So the brawn that I got came with the head for Repugnus, and this comes with a little Titan doodly-doo. A little vehicle bug dude.
And everything is painted. It doesn't have those junky stickers like the U.S. release did. So.
This is absolutely correct.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
the U.S. has
so
those
bad.
Awful oil stickers that are falling off in the packages. Every single one of them on every single figure was misapplied.
Yeah.
Every time.
You know, that Megatron... So.
Yeah, I almost debated about getting that one just to have that nice paint.
Thanks, John Warden.
I do appreciate stickers when they're done well.
Yeah, I don't hate on stickers.
When I get to apply them.
I don't hate on stickers, but I hate those stickers. They're garbage.
Yeah.
They were garbage and they were done like garbage. That Megatron, what it reminds me of, and I don't mean you've talked about this before, Peter, but that purple and black reminds me of the Skywarp Megatron Triple Changer. As well. Now, if you don't know what that is, there's a prototype drawings of a Megatron that turns into, it's a robot, and I guess it's a four changer, because it's a robot and a gun and a plane and Skywarp and Megatron.
Yeah, so it's two
robots and two modes.
That showed up in the original Generations book in some of the concept art pages, which was released in, 2003? Or so, and then again in Generations Deluxe, and then it's shown up on other sources here and there over the years. It's really neat.
Yeah.
So, are you opening those boxes? Those are all going to be sealed. I will say that Megatron specifically is incredible, and that if you can pick up another one, like that was honestly one of my favorite Takara of that line, just because the paint has done so well, and it's just a really beautiful piece.
It looks great. Yeah.
I assume all that stuff is still just like in stock at Big Bad for the original retail price.
They actually did a pretty big restock recently, Paul. You're shaking your head, but that's where
all part of that wave of restocks.
Yeah.
You're right. They did restock it, but I mean, it hasn't been sitting there though.
Got it.
No. They all went out for a while. Came back.
Where did that come from? How did that come to exist?
China.
Right.
I wonder myself how that works, but I assume there's like a cache or like not necessarily a warehouse find, but maybe someone like some smaller company like sells their stock in bulk or something from another country.
Yeah. All right. So should we start a lightning round, or we think we're good for another normal round? I need some.
Let's say I'm out. So
okay.
Normal maybe.
All right. So we'll do a normal since we're down to three of us. This will be quicker. This is one of my fun finds from the dealer room at TFCon. These are G1 sticker books. Apparently, I was talking to Nick of Big Ten Robot that was telling us that these, there was like a warehouse find or some crap with these, and like everybody found a bunch of them. And so all the stamps are applied on the one I found. It was another one of those. I didn't go in there looking for it, but remember the Piranacon I showed last week? Or 2 weeks ago, same guy had this, and I think they were
off in the corner by the glasses.
Which I bought a Beast Wars glass as well. That was one of my things. Yeah, and I'll never remember to bring it down in time. So, I've been using it a lot, so it's usually dirty. But yeah, these are cool. These are just, you know, fun, kitschy. Like the colors are so wacky. You know, it kind of reminds me of like the Marvel Comics colors with like the purple Shockwave or Soundwave. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you know, so that's, you know, the Autobot one, and then, of course, the Decepticon one, and if you notice that Megatron head, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's the.
You mentioned the Marvel books. It wouldn't surprise me at all since this is using. It looks like it's using Marvel storybook art, so that might be actually published by Marvel books.
Let's see if it. Oh yeah, no, you're right. Look, there's a huge Marvel sequence. Books logo right at the top.
Ooh, Reverend Deathstron.
Nailed it in one. So yeah, these are cool. These are fun. You know, they're just little. Somebody has solved the word search, so ruined forever.
Savages.
Oh, but look, they were able to unscramble the Autobots correctly. So, you know, these are fun. Just a little bit of memorabilia. I saw that. Again, I think they were. It was $10 for both or $10 each. I can't remember. I was in a buying mood either way. It wasn't that expensive. So that was a fun purchase.
I picture in my head the 35-year-old dude that was solving the and he calls his wife over. Hey, I figured it out.
Oh, man. All right, so yeah. Paul.
Got Blitzwing. Hey. From the Bumblebee movie. He's, you know, he's okay.
Rob's making that face.
Where did...
Is Rob's it? Just like, why are you bringing this garbage into my show, dog?
Okay, no, so like, this
started with Rock Lords.
I want to know where it came from. Rock Lords are awesome.
Yeah, what is watch this your mouth.
Watch your
this
mouth.
Is a Energon Igniter.
Ah. Does it?
It's actually the best one. Oh, yeah, it transforms.
Is it like a Cyberverse quality, or is it better than that?
I'd say it's better, actually. I mean, it's like Fast Action Battle movie stuff, but check this out. Or wait, no, I didn't do it right. I still didn't do it right. There we go. He's got two heads.
He goes from ugly to uglier.
Is one he's of got, them Starscream?
No, he's got animated Blitzwing crazy face.
Oh, that was a fun gimmick. That
yeah. He doesn't have three heads, but he has two.
Well, it's better than one, so, right? And, what the song
and there's like us. There's like a quick flip that flips him out and
which you know, I mean you got right one out of three times. So,
So these were in the last wave of those Energon Nitro Igniter whatever series. So they didn't see a lot of mass retail release. They did drop heavily in Canada and Europe. And if you want to get them on eBay from a European or Canadian seller, you're going to drop $80 on it. But Paul pointed out that they've been showing up at TJ Maxx this week. So he went out and got his, showed it off, and then I ran out and got mine. So I'm not going to show mine. It's in the car anyway.
Oh, I got more.
Oh, snap. I only found the one. I was happy to find it.
Yeah. The price on these was always quite high, really? Around $50 if you didn't find it in a store. Because it was like every Target in Chicago got one case of them.
Is it like the only
transforming? So I'm the only one that got any.
Is it the only like transforming movie Bumblebee Blitzwing or something? That's why.
It's the only one that like actually you know is substantial that has like a good look to him.
Yeah, there's one like pop changer. It's like the little flippy flipple do flipple doodly roo, yeah. Right? The one step changer.
Yeah, and he turns into a tank. He's basically a Megatron.
It's a remold. Megatron. Yeah.
I was just trying to figure out why it would be valuable. Like, there's some things that even though they're hard to find, they're still just not worth a lot, even if you can find them. And
right.
Energon Igniters isn't usually a line that's like you know commanding prices, but.
Well, this is only Blitzwing that is like even close to respectable.
Yeah,
and he was the coolest character in the show. I mean, they really messed up this toy line.
I didn't even know they had a toy line.
Yeah.
The Bumblebee toy line was nothing but gimmick bots. And yeah. Paul's right that's the most substantial, most decent one. Like all the decent shatters and decent drop kicks and decent Bumblebees are in Studio Series. The actual Bumblebee line itself is all. DJ Bumblebee beatboxing doodly-doo with a mask that glows with the bee vision and the flippy change light see-through thing through the chest and the... Oh, my God, no.
So, in other words, it's all...
Yeah.
It's all garbage gimmicks. Yeah.
Well, you can tell they really were expecting kids to lean in. They were leaning into the kid audience for the Bumblebee film.
Which is fine, and but kids like Transformers as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. These are hardly Transformers. It does transform, though. It just doesn't have any knees. It has, like... Buckley legs, but
say
at
it,
least
Lucas.
The arms are good.
Say it, Lucas.
What?
It's basically as good as Masterpiece.
Oh, it is. Yes, yes. No, definitely.
This is Masterpiece.
I mean, Blitzwing. You could get the 3A Bumblebee, or you could get that. So.
Well, I have been. I've been standing this next to my 3A Bumblebee.
There you go.
All right. Well.
So yeah, check your TJ Maxx's. And if you don't find them by next week, you're screwed.
Yeah, basically.
All right. Well, I think Peter just went and grabbed his next thing to talk about.
I did. Yeah. Well, the cat decided to get on the table, and I took that as an opportunity to seg my way over there.
Seg your way.
Yeah. So, okay. So my next another two-part doodly-doo.
I love these doodly-doos.
I got a kitty friend.
Oh, nice.
And I got a bird friend.
Chicken, sky chicken.
And yeah, they go together to form sky chicken. Well, I mean, it's not space chicken. It's not Deseret. So it's like, yeah, it's like shuttle chicken.
So this is MMC's
Sky. Magna Inventa.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there was. Yep. I heard somebody tell me at the show that MMC only makes what is ordered. So, like, if a retailer orders extras, then you can buy them later. You know, and a lot of retailers will order, you know, a little surplus beyond what's pre-ordered. But, like, MMC figures don't generally super shelf-warm just because they, again, people don't overbuy them typically, apparently. So, like, I noticed there were a few of these at the show, and then there weren't. You know, I felt like a lot of us were like, you know what, no one else is going to do Skylinks anytime soon. I'm going to go pick it up. And then... Yeah, he is heavy as hell. Like
the bottom part especially, yes. Like I was handing it to the kids and handing it to Lady Destron, like, here, hold this. And they're like, oh crap, this thing is heavy. And it is
no joke. My scale's put away, and honestly I think this is probably over the weight limit for my little food scale that I use for mailing eBay packages. But it is, I haven't had a chance to transform it yet. I've heard there's issues with the neck. But they included screw covers, at least in the one I have. Like, you can take the neck apart at the base. I believe it's something is done incorrectly, and
you have to drill into the neck if you want to fix it. So, like through the screw cover, what it is like, so when they tightened it up, like, you know, whatever, they did it at the factory. And so it's just totally luck of the draw. Like, you could get a good one, you could get a really tight one, or you could get a loose one. So, and different parts are loose or whatever. So on TFW, they actually have somewhere, the original designer actually kind of talks about what to do with the fix, but you pretty much have to take a drill into the side of the neck, you know, and tighten it yourself, and then put the screw cover on or whatever from the ones they gave you.
I'm looking forward to messing with the guy. I haven't had a chance yet. He has a bunch of razor sharp teeth in there. Well, actually, they're not that sharp. They look sharper than they are. And he's got some little fold-out gimmicks here. But yeah, he is extremely substantial.
I've played with the bottom. I haven't played with the top yet.
That's what she said. All right, so I guess I'll go next. I'm going to do a few quick things. I swear I'm never going to get to any actual Transformers. Oh, wait, no, Black Arachne. That's the only actual Transformer I've bought in a while. I did find a few GoBots at TFCon, always on the hunt for, you know, decent ones that are at least complete. And, you know, a lot of GoBots don't have accessories, but got my Super Leader 1, who is a fun toy, who has a loose left wing like all of them do. I can't remember his name, but he's Waterwalk.
Waterwalk, yeah.
Or are both colors called Waterwalk? Can't remember.
Is that color? I think that color is not official.
Is it not?
I think he only came in brown for GoBots.
Are you sure?
Yeah, like orange and tan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I have that one, and I saw this one here, so I just picked it up. But
that one was available with Pepsi products in 1985. I want to say it was like a carded add-on to 2 liters, and it's not a legit GoBot. It is, to my knowledge.
It is now. So it's a Pepsi exclusive. That makes it even more interesting to me. I mean, it wasn't expensive. I can't remember how much each of these were, but they were, you know, just a few bucks each. But, you know, it's a, if you don't know who Waterwalk is, but, you know, it's a seaplane. So, it's, you know, it's kind of interesting. I got, is it Twin Spin? I have the other helicopter blade here.
Yeah, it's Twin Spin.
Yeah, Twin Spin, which, you know, nice little double heli. That's fun. And then a couple more. I just knocked the gun off because I'm good. But got a Zemon. He's a little floppy. He's not bad.
It's a little floppy.
Yeah, and then, I mean, he'll be in robot mode soon enough. And then one of the Baron Von
Joy.
Yeah. So picked up some of those GoBots. GoBots are fun. You know,
those are fun.
Yeah. I couldn't find any Rock Lords, but I found those. You know, always on the look for non-Transformers, apparently. Paul.
Well, I broke my wallet. Really hurts because of this keychain that I found at Dollar Tree. But I found a lot of these, and they're showing up at Dollar Trees, and they're looking the toy section. I guess that's where they're showing up. They're actually really nice sculpts, and they have paint apps all over them. I mean,
yeah. They come in these nice little cards. I mean, it's Dollar Tree, so they're a buck a piece, no more than a dollar. And, you get a Bumblebee, Megatron, Soundwave, or Optimus.
Or, you're not allowed to buy them all. You can only buy or, one at a time. You have to put on different fake mustaches every time you buy.
They know me there, yeah.
Well, in case you're looking for these, Soundwave is short-packed. So if you find a Soundwave, they are not easy to... Like, everything else seems to be in equal quantities, and there'll be, like, 8 Optimuses, 8 Bumblebees, 8 Megatrons, 3 Soundwaves. So if you find one, look for them.
I found multiple Soundwaves, and I got to be selective because they all have the paint for his visor goes up like this on his face. So I got to be choosy. Choosy moms choose.
Well, that's good. I mean... I corroborated that with Nick, so he said the same thing, that he was not finding any Soundwaves.
Well,
so
they all went to Florida.
They all went to, they're in.
Yeah.
Soundwave got smart and went to the where it's warm. But yeah, I for a buck, these are great. These are awesome. Great PFCon fodder. And since we're on Optimus Prime, I also was able to snag one of these. This is the Star Convoy Inner Robot.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you just... Do you just snag the inner robot?
Yep.
Fell off the back of that truck and found its way to Paul's house.
It's from... He's a really cool guy. Anyways, I like this because I wanted to get this guy on his own because I like the inner robots of these dudes. And it's annoying to have to buy 2 complete ones and then you have this like trailer that doesn't do anything. So I found a way to get just the inner robot, and I like it. I think it's better than Orion Pax. It's a little weird Optimus, and it's a strange size. This is what I was holding up with Yamaguchi. They kind of,
about the same size.
They're very similar. It's they're both the same character. So what do you expect? Yeah. Don't love his weirdly shaped windows, though. That's the only real downside here. They're just an awkward shape. So yeah, that's on to Peter.
Is that what she said? I hope I didn't show this off last week. I might have. I don't know. I got Knee and Foxwire.
You did.
Dang it. Okay. Well, then I got the Wendy's toys. They're all in my car.
Did we finally reach the end of the Peter barrel?
Did I show off Cylindrus? The roller, MMC roller?
No.
I got him.
Do it.
So I was going to say, so this week was like a big week for toy collectors from fast food places because McDonald's also dropped they did their like 40th anniversary of Happy Meals.
Yeah.
And so they dropped, I think it was like Thursday night or was it Thursday night? They had, 18 different toys or something like that. And they're blind bag, but they had like the number on the outside of the bag. And if you go look, there was a diagram of which one was which. And so of course you had all of these, 40-year-old people that were like going and asking the workers to like sort through the bins for, they're different toys that they can get. So
with varying degrees of success.
Yeah. It just depends on who's working there that day and how busy they are. I will say I'm not into buying those, but like if you're going to there and asking, don't do it like during lunch rush hour, just use a little common sense, make it easy on the workers there to help you. Go during a dead time and be like, hey, be very polite and ask please. And if they say no, go to a different McDonald's or come back to that one at a different time. Like, don't harass the poor people working there, you know?
So what would we be interested in? And I've seen that diagram, but I just, like, glazed over it.
Changeables.
Oh.
Yeah, changeables.
The old school transforming hamburger and stuff.
Yep. Yeah. But they're not doing the whole line. There's just a couple of them.
They're not doing...
No, just a couple.
They've got one from Wave 1, which was 1987, and then they have one from Wave 3, which was 1992, I want to say.
Is that when they were dinosaurs?
That was when they were dinosaurs, exactly.
Yeah, so... Oh, so Cylindris.
Oh, yeah, Cylindris. Cylindris by MMC is a retool, heavy retool of the Tarn figure or Coulter figure that they did a few years ago. They also retooled that into Thunderclash and Machine Wars Optimus Prime. And yeah, so he's based on More Than Meets the Eye. He's got a lot of, you know, Kibbley backpack stuff, which we can forgive because the rest of him looks pretty spot on.
Have you opened yours yet?
I have not. I work through things. Like, I'll open a toy, play for a couple of days. And
well, what I'm wondering is, like, when I got mine, it came with a cape and his little Energon drink or something. Mm-hmm. And one or both of those is supposed to be like a pre-order exclusive. But I've noticed
that's the Planet Steel Express exclusive.
Yeah. And I know sometimes they say these things are, but they end up being in all of them anyways. You know, and I was kind of curious if it was. So when you open,
let me get my blade.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looks cool with the cape on there. I'd hope it at least comes with that because that's a pretty big accessory. Whereas, like, the Energon drink is super tiny. So, like,
so they came. All of them came with one Energon drink. There was a second Energon drink that the planet was exclusive to Planet Steel Express. So, I know mine. I think I got mine from Chosen Prime, and it had the. See,
he's cutting the tape.
When did he wear a cape?
I think when he first shows up, like, he's been gone for a while, and he has, like, that tattered, not a cape, but, like, a tattered cloth around him and stuff, right? And that how he looks when he appears?
Well, that was Drift, but did Cylindris hat or Roller have that as well? Or?
I could be wrong.
Mine came with a piece of styrofoam.
There you go.
So, exclusive styrofoam.
Styrofoam!
Card. Capey thing.
Okay.
And I can feel, well, I feel wires in the cape. And I don't know. Here's a gun. Big op looking gun.
I just saw it in there.
And you saw it? Yeah. Yep. There's a drink. Little Energon sippy drink.
I assume you did not get this from
Planet Steel. Well, I think it's funny is.
I picked this up at Chosen Prime.
Yeah. Mine was the same way. The thing I think is funny is like my Drift figure that I got, who had a cape in the comics, did not come with that because that was supposed to be the Planet Steel exclusive. And then, like, every figure I've gotten since then has included it.
Oh. I know.
And we're calling it a cape, but that's wrong. It's a full, like, it goes over the front and the back of him and has, like, a rope to tie around his waist.
Yeah, like, it's kind of like a poncho or whatever.
Kind of like a frat robe. Yeah. All right, well, I think, 9:00 Central Time, so probably want to call it unless we want to do another round. What do we think? I still have a bunch to show, but I can keep talking about them next week.
I was going to say, we got a show next week.
Yeah.
I'm spent.
All right.
All I had was this big rock lord that I just found, but I guess we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Shock rock wave lord.
All right, cool. Well, then, thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks for joining us in the chat. You know, if you like us, enjoy what we do, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/TFYLP. You can, you know, sub for $1, you know, just to help support us, pays for some, you know, server costs, a couple other costs we have. Make sure to check out our other shows. Microcasters is live at on Facebook on Tuesday nights. Ask My Wallet's obviously live here on YouTube Wednesday nights. Our main show, Our Bread and Butter, is live on Sundays at noon Eastern on YouTube, here on YouTube, as well as we have a couple of pre-recorded segments with the mysterious Mr. Starscream, whoever that is, does TF Talk Weekly, which we're going to have to rename to TF Talk whenever.
Occasionally.
it's a really good produced content, you know, of highlights throughout, you know, of recent news as well as other things and some interviews that happen with random guests. So it's a very cool show. Check that out, as well as Rick's Cut the Tape, which we usually put up one every Friday, which is another pre-recorded segment. Just him, you know, going through his pile of boxes and opening them up and yammering about them. You know, that's what we like to do here, is yammer about toys and the hobby. So without any further ado, I think that's it for tonight, and we will see you next time. Bye.
Have a good day.
This has been Transformers for your listening pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.